On any given day, a quick skim of the business headlines is going to lead you to the latest and greatest story of an IPO, an initial public offering. They are coming fast and furious, and it's easy to feel like you're missing out on something if you didn't get a piece of the next Airbnb, Bumble, whatever it is. But what exactly is an IPO? How can you get your hands on one? Should you even try? Juliette John is the founder of Iris Asset Management. She joins us now to take us through those questions and more. She's in Calgary. Hello there.
Hi, Bruce. How are you?
Initial public offering for the uninformed, for the newbies. What does that actually mean?
Sure. Well, you know, from a company's perspective, it's an extremely exciting time. It can be a milestone for a company and can actually be a target that they've worked on for several years. So what an IPO, an initial public offering, is when a privately owned company, so the insiders, they sell the capital stock to a broader group of investors. So the shares go from being privately held to trading on publicly traded stock markets like Toronto or New York. So essentially, the corporate ownership, it now extends beyond the founders or maybe even a small number of share owners. So I think if we have an example, so let's say, Bruce, you and I, we had a company, we founded, we produced, we invented some fantastic product.
Yes.
We developed it. We manufactured it. But now we need money. We need capital to get us to the next level. So let's say we wanted to expand manufacturing. We want to build a plant. That's going to take us to the next level of growth. So we decide to go public. And so what that means is that we proceed with an IPO or the initial public offering. So you and I don't own the company anymore. We may own a part of it if we haven't sold the whole thing, but it's now a broader group of investors who own the business. And now our management team needs to report to them to be more accountable. And in Canada, that's actually on a quarterly basis.
Why are we seeing so many IPOs now? Like there is a season for IPOs right now. Why?
Yeah, no question. So, you know, IPOs tend to follow the market strength. And so what tends to happen is that IPOs come to market when equity markets are strong, like right now. And in fact, I also cover the banks from a research perspective. And what they have been saying recently is that their pipelines with respect to IPOs are full. And so there's just a lot of activity going on. But if we look back to 2020, which is when this really started, we saw the Federal Reserve in the United States cut interest rates. We also saw them start to buy corporate debt. So that almost effectively put a floor in people's minds to what extent the markets would fall. And no question, you'll remember we saw a significant decline, but it gave investors confidence that we would see some protection. And that really started to, the sentiment started to turn after we saw those moves by the Fed.
Anyone can buy a piece of a publicly traded company. They go to a broker, they go on a discount broker, they click a few buttons and they've got it. But how does one get a piece of an IPO? Like they're part of that secret club.
They can be. It can definitely feel that way. So you have to have a relationship with an advisor, a financial advisor normally. And that would be how they would alert you to what's coming, what new IPOs. You referenced Airbnb and Bumble. Bumble was probably the more recent one and was really hot off the start and then has faded a little bit since then. I think it's trading below the IPO price still, just slightly. And that sometimes it can actually be, though, that the initial excitement around the IPO may not necessarily be the best buy point, may not be the best entry point because of that initial excitement. You can often get the shares at a slightly lower price because some of the people who may not have gotten that piece when they were trying to on day one of the trading lose interest or move on, or they got their fill and then the buying interest start to fade a little bit. But it would be through a broker that you'd need to be
getting. And what's the threshold?
Access.
Like, do you need $1 million to come to the top of the list where an advisor is willing to make that request for a part of the allocation? Or is it 5 minutes? Like, I have no idea.
Well, you know, it depends on the IPO. I think some of the ones that are extremely hot that, some of them, it can end up being oversubscribed by a great extent. And what that means is that, let's say it's 10 times oversubscribed, there's 10 times more demand than there are shares available. So if you want to get a piece of an IPO like that, you probably need to have a bigger sway, for lack of a better term, with your advisor that allows them to put your name forward to get some of that that new deal.
Knowing you for all the years that I have known you, you are not someone who gets caught up in emotion or frenzy or sentimentality on stocks.
I'm not.
You are not, unless maybe they had a particular raspberry coulis that you could get excited about. But you're numbers oriented, right? Like, you're pretty ruthless about that. How does one go about valuing an IPO that is different from a stock that's been trading for a decade and has years and years of history and multiples and, you know, whether or not it exceeded or under-delivered on earnings and all those other things that you would factor in?
Sure. So what we are always doing is looking at the fundamentals. So we're bottom-up investors at IRIS. And so what our role is really to determine the value of an investment and how much potential exists for growth to materialize over time. So ultimately, we are still, as you say, numbers oriented. A business like, say, Canada Goose, for example, went public a few years ago, 2017, I think. So that's a company that had been around for about 60 years. So there was a good amount of history into the business to understand what the actual margins were, the profitability, potential growth, the balance sheet, how well the company had been managed over time. And so there was a good database to pull from to understand how the business was being managed, the strength of the business, and the actual profitability of the underlying business. So we wanted to understand all of those things, but most importantly is to what extent we're going to pay for some of that growth, because the biggest risk of investing is, one of the big risks is overpaying at the outset, which will limit your ability to extract gains because you're already paying for it in your entry price.
Which gets me to our last question here. If you miss the IPO, like you weren't a part of the allocation before it went public, then it's got that big day and, you know, they're ringing the bell somewhere and everybody's talking about whether they did well or poorly on that big day. What about buying a week later? 2 weeks later, what should investors keep in mind? Because there is still some of that FOMO, because I'm going to be the IPO on the first day, but maybe a week or a month out, I should be moving it.
Sure. Well, you know, that brings up a fair number of, topics where, again, equity investing should be a long-term affair. And so really, if a company is able to grow long-term, there should be potential to enter at a later date than the IPO. And again, as we talked about earlier, even looking at the Bumble example that you gave, the stock's trading below. And so if someone were really wanting to maybe apply their dating experience online to their investment portfolio, then they could actually be buying that stock at a lower price. One of the things to also consider with an IPO is that sometimes investors have a lockup period. Those founders who are selling could be locked up for, you know, sometimes up to 6 months. So if they, after that 6 month point, there could be some stock that comes to market that could put downward pressure on the shares. So there are absolutely factors to consider, but most importantly, equity investing should be a long-term affair, as I said earlier, and that there should always be time to even see how the company has been doing, whether they've had a couple of quarters where they start now reporting to their public shareholders, and that we see to what extent earnings and revenues are really coming through.
I love how you used the phrase a long-term affair. It makes it sound so much more glamorous than a long-term commitment or like investing's like a marriage. It's like an affair. Yeah. Sign
affair,
me up for that. It's
exciting.
An affair.
You're right. Absolutely.
A mistress or a mister. Juliet, thank you so much.
A pleasure.
Juliette Johns, the founder of Iris Asset Management. She was here to talk about IPOs. This is like top of the news and will be for, I'm sure, weeks and months to come.